Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10. I'm excited to share this with you this morning because how many of you read your Bible every day? And don't lie about it. You can't lie about reading your Bible. You shouldn't lie about anything, but don't lie about reading. How many of you read your Bible every day? At least a verse. You read your Bible every day. Okay, there's a lot of hands that have not gone up. I want to encourage you. I don't want to rebuke you. I want to encourage you. In 2025, set aside 3 minutes a day. You say, man, 3 minutes is not a lot. Zero's not a lot. And there's a lot of people that weren't able to put their hand up. I want you 1 year from today, if I ask that question again, for you to be able to say, I read my Bible every day. And I promise if you start with 3 minutes, it's going to turn into 8 minutes, 15 minutes. Then you're going to be late to work. No, just kidding. Don't be late to work. Everything in balance. But I'm excited about what I'm going to share with you today because there is a lot of verses that I'm going to share today that are off the beaten path. We all hear John 3:16 and Matthew 6:33 and Ephesians 3:20 and of course, unbelievable portions of scripture, but there are some things that I love when God helps me dig them out that apply to our lives. And so we're going to go to one of those right now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10. And I love what Paul is saying, and it's almost like he's talking to us at Living Way in 2024. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Man, this is not a self-help book. This is the Bible talking like this. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning. I'm talking to somebody here now. Your zeal has waned. Your energy has waned. Your excitement has waned. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Actions speak louder than words. Give in proportion to what you have, which is where we draw the principle. God will never ask of you something you don't have. If God asks of you, you have it somewhere. You say, I don't have it. No, you have it. You just got to find it. It's like the woman with the 10 coins and she lost one of them. She might have not known where it was, but it was in her house. And so part of 2025 and us being able to move into a new year is we've got to take inventory of our life. And I said a couple services ago that we've got to identify what's baggage and what's luggage. Baggage means I've been somewhere. Luggage means I'm going somewhere. We've got to be able to separate the trash from the treasure. This is staying in 2024, but I'm loading up all this stuff and it's making the trip with me into 2025. Somebody say, finish it. How many 90s kids? You were growing up in the 90s. 90s kids. How many? Y'all remember Mortal Kombat? Finish him. Finish it. Not finish him. Finish it. I don't know what your it is, but every one of us has something that in the next 60 hours needs to be completed before we move into 2025. You may be seated. Pastor Mandy alluded to it. I don't know if it was during the offering or doing our Devo this morning with our leadership team, but how you finish one season, church, is how you start your next season. How you finish 2024 is automatically how you start 2025. I remember a couple years ago, I had a friend come to our house for a redneck New Year's Eve. I said, what's a redneck New Year's Eve? You don't shoot fireworks in the air, you shoot them at each other. Kids, don't try that at home. But I remember him telling me, I said, you have a good time. It was the first time he'd ever been to one of our New Year's get-togethers. I said, you have a good time? He said, I did have a good time. He said, you know what I loved about being here? I said, what is that? And I thought he was going to talk about the company, the conversation. I thought he was going to talk about the food. I thought he was going to talk about all of what I would talk about. He said, I just like the fact that nobody's getting drunk and cussing each other out. Nobody's fighting. I don't have to worry about who my kids are around. I know everybody here. This is a safe place. And so there's a lot of us that there are some things that have happened in 2024 that have left scars. 2024 has not been the ideal year for you. That is someone's testimony. That it has been a hellacious year. It has been tough. There is times that you didn't know if you're going to make it to December 29th, but here you are. You lost relationships, lost money. Maybe you had to move. Maybe there was a foreclosure, a bankruptcy. Maybe there was a doctor's report. Maybe that addiction you thought you had kicked in 2018 showed back up in 2024. And so 2024, unless you're speaking in faith, you can't say it's been the best year. You can't even say it's been a good year. But I do want to caution you as your pastor and as somebody that can speak some word and encouragement in your life, that unless you get some things resolved today and in this moment, 2025 will not be any better than 2024. Because how you end this year is how you're going to start the next year. This is why one bad relationship often leads to another bad relationship. Why one bad job leads to another bad job, and why some of us leave a church because of problems in the other church, just to find out when we show up at the new church, the problems still persist. And sometimes it's just the fact that every church has problems. There is no such thing as a perfect church. And if there is a perfect church, when you or I show up, guess what? It is no longer perfect because you and I showed up. And so you understand that sometimes it is not the place that's the problem. Sometimes it is the person that is the problem. Sometimes you might show up at your next, which is the right place, but you showed up in the wrong way. I'm talking to somebody today. Your next truly might be right. 2025 might be the perfect year. 2025 might be the year of the marriage, might be the year of the successful business, might be the year that you get pregnant and welcome a new baby into this world. 2025 might be the year that God has been promising you, and all of those things are about to come to head and happen in your life. And 2025 might be set up to be the best year of your life. But if 2024 you walks into 2025, the old you will mess up the new place. So the year might be right, the place might be right, but we might be wrong. We are literally standing on the threshold of a new year. We hear that phrase, threshold, many times, a lot when we talk about new season or new year. When people get married, they talk about the old tradition of crossing or being carried over the threshold. The threshold, simply defined, is the seal of a doorway. It is a place of transition from outside to inside, or garage to kitchen. It is the entrance to something new, to a house. It is the doorway that marries, or that brings two worlds or two rooms or two different things into contact with each other. The same way, church, that you can't walk from the porch and cross the threshold into your house and everything changes. You can't walk from 2024 and cross the threshold into 2025 and everything changes. Simply put, if you were depressed in the garage, you'll be depressed in the living room. If you were broken and addicted in the bathroom, you'll be broken and addicted in the bedroom. And I make that comparison because I don't want you to get caught up that there is something magical that happens when the ball drops in 60 hours. And we're going to hear it. And I know the aesthetic's nice. And I know the Insta story looks good. When you talk about new year, new me, not necessarily. There's only one thing that makes us new, and that is when we sacrifice our life and pick up our cross and start following Jesus. That is the only way that Paul says in Corinthians that we can become a new creation. So if I want a new year, I have to become new. If I want a new outlook on life, I have to have a new mind. I have to have a new spirit. And I'm not just talking about those who have had a terrible 2024. I'm talking about those of you who had good, because good can become the enemy of great, and great can become the enemy of greatest. I don't want God to do in 2025 what he did in 2024. I want God to do a new thing. So if I want God to do a new thing, old Brandon can't show up to a new year. So I want to encourage you that it's a lie from the adversary to think that just with the changing of a time, a clock, a calendar, that everything changes. Changing rooms doesn't help. Changing jobs doesn't help. Changing years doesn't help. Changing your heart helps. Changing your focus helps. Changing what you follow and what you're faithful to helps. You might say, but PB, I can. Respectively, you cannot. You might be able to fake change. But fakeness and our fakeness doesn't change our world. Faithfulness does. And I know we've grown up in a generation of fake talk where we fake it till we make it. And there is a little bit of truth to that. But some of us have learned how to live in the faking. Instead of just putting a smile on our face and worshiping God through the pain and worshiping God through the tears and following and being faithful to the word of God and the things of God, even when everything around us is not right, we have learned how to live a fake life. And can I encourage you, your kids see through the fakeness. The people closest to you see through the fakeness. Our fakeness doesn't change anything. Our faithfulness to Jesus changes things. We can't fake change, but we can faith change. So right now and for the next 2.5 days, it's the perfect moment for all of us to make sure that we finish it. And I've already said, I don't know what your it is. I know that there's some its in my life that need to stay in 2024, that I need God to bring finality to in 2024. I'm not dragging corpse into 2025. Come on, somebody. I'm not dragging drama into 2025. I'm not dragging what they said about me and my family into 2025. I'm not dragging that old battle. I'm gonna finish that battle this year so that when I start 2025, it truly is a clean slate and a fresh opportunity and a new day. Somebody say amen. We finish it by three things and we'll dive into these in the next 15 minutes. Number one, reflection. What you reflect on. Number two, renewal. Taking the time it takes to stay renewed. Number three, rejoicing. This time of transition, as we get ready to cross into a new year, offers us the opportunity to do three things. To look back. And remember, the only time we look back is to learn from or to celebrate. So we look back, we learn from, and then we lean forward. Transition doesn't always lead to transformation. I'm going to pick my words very carefully, but I'm not going to do so to take off the edge of bluntness that I'm about to say. They said 2 weeks ago that somebody left the service and on their way out told somebody at the information or the welcome center that they would no longer be coming to church here and we could take their name off the membership roster. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. We've done this for 50 years without you. We can probably go another 50 years. I didn't really even ask why, and I don't think the welcome center asked why. And they said, I don't like what he said about trans people. I don't like what he said about the LGBTQ plus. Let me just remind you that any time that I've ever said that homosexuality is sin, I have followed it up 15 seconds later with heterosexuality unchecked is sin. Whether you are sleeping with somebody that's the same sex or a different sex and you're not married, that is sin. Transitioning, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. It is a lie from the adversary to make you transition to something you were never meant to be. You are hurting. You are confused. Somebody has sold you a bill of goods that is a lie. But as a pastor, I am stand before God and all of heaven, and I'm going to have to report for everything I said and everything I didn't say, everything I let slide and everything I put an end to. And I've got to remind you that just because you are transitioning doesn't mean that you are transformed. And just because you are struggling doesn't mean that God has forgotten you or forsaken you. This is a house that will call it like it is, tell you what the word of God says, but we will never quit loving you. We will never tell you you are not welcome here. Living Way is welcome for anybody. If you've got a crack addiction, this is your church. If you've got a 13-year-old daughter that's pregnant, this is your church. If you've got a 15-year-old son that's transitioning, this is your church. If you're a Muslim, this is your church. If you're a Catholic, this is your church. Former Pentecostal, Baptist, this is your church. If you're bisexual, trisexual, pansexual, this is your church. But we're going to preach the word of God. And I'm not going to lie to you in the most important parts of your life and the decisions you're making that transitioning equals transformation. It does not. Just because there's movement does not mean there is production. And getting back to this message in particular, just because we're transitioning to a new year doesn't mean that we are transformed and that the new year is going to be what God has called it to be. That is up to you and I. God has already set it into being. God has already set up everything for us to walk into. God already knows the trials and the tribulations and the giants that we are going to come face to face with in 2025. And so when God says we're getting ready to go into a new year, God is not saying get the sparkling grape juice ready and get the fireworks ready. He's saying I need your heart, your mind, and your spirit to be ready so that when we do transition, you don't transition to be transformed. You transition because you are transformed and you're ready for the next that God has in front of you. Y'all amened a little better there than I thought you would on the last 2 minutes. See, in 2025 and beyond, pastors all over our nation are going to be pressed to follow wokeism and progressive Christianity. We're not going to be that church. We're going to love everybody. But we're not going to love you to hell. We're going to love you to Jesus. We're going to love you to Jesus. Transitioning doesn't always lead to transformation. A change of scenery doesn't change much. But a change of heart can change everything. You know, I feel hurt sometimes when people leave Living Way and choose another church. But I also know that a lot of times, Living Way, sometimes we are, sometimes we're not. None of us are perfect, but people think that when they go to a new church that everything's going to be fine. And there are people that just got out of a bad relationship or a bad marriage in 2024, and you are eager to jump right back into another relationship. Remember, you need to heal before you move forward. And you think, well, I don't like the way the boss treats me, and I don't like my coworkers here. I don't think anyone in this building loves all of their coworkers. It's always going to be tough. Man, David Miller said amen, and he's self-employed. My God. Alicia, if you want to, you can move right over here. There's never, and this, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to my pastor friends that are watching right now. You know, this has become a Sunday that churches close down. They don't have any services. They call it Sabbath Sunday. So we got hundreds of volunteers that they're just overworked. You think hundreds of volunteers that serve all year long, you think giving them a break of 5 hours is going to reset them? And so they shut down service. And these will be the same pastors that get mad when those people don't show back up to church on their schedule. As a leader, you have already proven that it doesn't matter when people come. And what I'm here to encourage you today. There's no church that is perfect. There's no job that is perfect. There's no relationship that is perfect. There are God-ordained jobs, churches, and relationships in your life. And you have to realize that there's always going to be looking grass that looks greener on the other side. But the grass gets the best water green where you water it and where you are planted. And so I want to encourage you, don't jump ship just because it gets uncomfortable. Don't throw in the towel just because you got hit in the face a couple times in 2024. Finish it. Number one, reflect. Reflecting on the faithfulness and the goodness of God. As it relates not only to our new year, but as it relates to our life. Reflect means to think, to ponder, to meditate. Joshua 1 verse 8, Joshua chapter 1 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything that is written in it, meaning this, that we can't possibly do it if we don't read it and meditate on it. Some of us have a problem with doing the word of God. It's not the fact that you read it once. He said, I meditate on it day and night. I know it forwards. I know it backwards. It's not just in my mind. It's in my heart. It's in my spirit so that I can do it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I love to read books. I'm a big reader. I love to read books on success and finance and business. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what man or woman has written a best-selling book on success. No one gets to identify and define what success is outside of God's word. And he said prosperity and success happens when we meditate on the word, when we reflect. Joshua encouraged us in chapter 1, verse 8. He encouraged us to meditate, to reflect on what God had said. Meaning when we read it here, we will do it here. This is powerful now, church. The reason we read the word of God is to not make us feel better. The reason we read the word of God is so that we know what to do tomorrow and that we know what to do today. And so Joshua, remember, this is right before, in just a couple verses, God speaks to Joshua and says, get everybody ready. In 3 days, we're getting ready to cross over, across the Jordan, over into the promised land. Isn't it fitting that here we are 3 days away from a new year, and I'm here to tell you, just like Joshua was telling the people, get in your word. Make sure you are not making movements based on your feeling. Make sure you're not making movements based on your emotions, but let us make decisions and moves based on God's word. And so I reflect, what did God say here? Because what God said here is going to, it's going to affect what I do here. What you heard in 2024 is going to have an effect on what you do in 2025. So if you don't hear the right things, you'll never do the right things. If you don't do the right things, verse 8 says, there is no prosperity, there is no success. What God said, when reflected on, church, will have an effect on what we see. It's important. What God said affects what we see. That's why I love when you talk to me. But man, when God talks to me, now we're talking about generations. Now we're talking about my children's children's children. Now we're talking about San Antonio 20 years from now when we're 5 million people strong in this city. God is not just dealing with yesteryear and right now. God is already reaching forward. And so 2024, and this is always, it always happens about middle of November for me. I start reflecting on the year. And a lot of times I always think, God, why am I looking backwards? And God says, the farther you look backwards is as far as you'll go forwards. When I look back at what God did yesterday, it gives me faith for tomorrow. Check this out, though. When I look back at what God did in 2023, it gives me faith for what He'll do in 2026. When I look at what God did in the 2000s, 2000, 2010, I can already look into 2030 to 2040. Hey, I'm an 80s kid. If I look all the way back to 1981 when I was born and look at all God did in my life as a child and how He kept me and how He saved me, how He healed me, how He delivered me, now I can look another 45 years into the future, which means now we're getting close to 2070. I'm already looking. Why? Because when I look back at what He said, I can now look forward and see the production of the seed of what He said. Some of us are afraid to look backwards because of the skeletons in our closet. Some of us are afraid to look backwards because of our past. If you're afraid to look backwards, it's because of one thing. Two things. One, you don't understand the power of the blood of Jesus. Number two, you have things you have not repented of. But for us believers in the room today, that's the power of repentance. When I look behind me, I'm not afraid of what I'm going to see because my past, it's under the blood of Jesus. My past, it's been forgiven, and the Bible says it is thrown into the sea of His forgetfulness. I want to encourage somebody today. Don't be afraid to look back if you are celebrating what God has done, but you are reflecting on what God has said. Reflection also means to mirror. We are not to reflect or mirror 2024. You've heard it, heard me say it many times. I don't want a rerun. I want a new year. I want a new call. I want a new anointing. So when we reflect, we don't mirror what we've done. We mirror what God has done. God, I want You to bring that anointing into this year. God, I want You to bring that hand of deliverance into this year. So how do we do that? Psalm 77, here's one of those off-the-beaten psalms. But then I recall all You have done, O Lord. I remember Your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your, you would think this dude's a lovesick puppy, 14 years old, a freshman in high school, talking about the cheerleading captain. This is David, who was a man of lust, who was a man of war, who was a man of bloodshed. But here we see, at this point in his life, he said, I recall all you've done. You know what's great about that scripture, church? Whether you've been saved 10 minutes or 10 years, you have something to recall. If you got saved last Sunday, you had 7 days to recall. And longer than that, because you can look at all the silly things you did BC before Christ when you should have overdosed and you didn't. And you were in the hospital and you should have died, but you didn't. And all the things that God, and you look back and you say, oh, I see, I recall all that you've done. I remember your wonderful deeds from long. They're constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Psalm 119, verse 68. This is a good one, church. This needs to be a verse for you moving into 2025. You are good and do only good. Teach me your decrees. You thought that was just some cliche that somebody wrote to slap on a couple greeting cards or a refrigerator magnet. That is straight word. God, you are good and you only do good. That means if it's not good, it's not from God. If it's not from God, it's from the enemy. And that enemy doesn't want you moving forward. The enemy doesn't want you to finish 2024 strong to start 2025. Even when life was bad, God was good. Even when life's burdens were heavy. Some of you ladies know some of those hairy burdens he sent to you. You'll get that on the way home. Even when life's burdens were heavy, God was good. God was so good that his goodness didn't let you carry those burdens on your own. He said, cast those cares on me. 2025, you have a decision, church. Cast your cares on Jesus or keep carrying them. I don't want to carry what I was never supposed to carry. I don't want to carry what I was never meant to carry. The bad, the burden, the boundaries, the blessing. Through it all, God was faithful and his goodness was always there. God is good and he only does good. Number two, we renew. What do we renew? We renew our commitment. Renew and define means this, to begin again. And man, Bishop preached years ago and I think about this all the time. Beginning again doesn't mean starting over. Starting over means starting from square one with nothing. When you begin again, you don't have to go all the way back to the start. You can start right where you are, right where you got up, dust yourself off and keep going. Not only do you get to begin again and not have to start all over, now you've got experience. Now you know what not to do. Now you know who to stay away from. Now you know how to work your faith. Now you know how hope works. Now you know how to work the word. It means to make effective. It means to restore. It means to revive. It means to recover. If you remember anything from renew, remember those last three because we're about to decree them to restore, to revive, to recover. Can I just declare in this room, and somebody ought to grab this in the next 15 seconds, your commitment to Christ, renewing your commitment to Christ is going to lead to a season of restoration, reviving, and recovery that you and your family have never seen before. The next 368 days, you're going to recover things that you forgot about. God is going to bring back to life things that you had buried and forgot about. God is getting ready to help you recover and restore things that you forgot about. It's going to happen in Jesus' name. A couple more verses, Isaiah 43, verse 18. But forget all of that. It is nothing compared to what I'm getting ready to do. I love that. When Isaiah receives this word, it says in the King James, forget the former things of old. Not just forgetting the bad things. It said, forget about some of that good stuff because it's become the enemy of the great stuff. You've heard me talk about nostalgia. It's dangerous, y'all. Thinking about how good things used to be sometimes robs us of the great things that God wants to do in us and through us. Remember Forget, I'm sorry, all of that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. Somebody say new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? There's a prophetic word for somebody today. We talk about spiritual ears, hearing what the Spirit says to the church. Spiritual eyes see what God is doing. You say, well, I don't see it. No, you're not going to see it like we see each other. But if you close your eyes and look in the spiritual realm, God has been working on your 2025 long before 2024 ever got here. God has been standing. He is the Alpha and the Omega. In this term, he's the Omega today, but 3 days from now, he'll be the Alpha. And I am here to tell you, you are fretting about 2025. You're anxious. You're nervous about what's in front of you. I've got great news for you. God is already there. I'm about to do something new. I've already begun. Don't you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. Somebody say amen. Amen. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Somebody say amen. Amen. In 2024, speak, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. And in the driest desert-like places of your life, I will spring forth rivers. We're not talking about a stream. I'm talking about 1998. Flood in San Antonio when the Guadalupe River got over Interstate 10 in Seguin. I'm talking about a river that everything it touches, it changes. Out of the dry place. Can you quit cursing the dry place and start speaking to the dry place and say, drive out of you is going to come the greatest river that God has ever given my life. Can I talk to a parent today? You've been shaking your head in your spirit about your son or your daughter, and everything else looks to be going right, but it's that one thorn in your flesh, and you're saying it is so dry there. God, in that place is going to come the greatest river. The greatest river. Stand on your feet. The greatest river. The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and the owls, too, for giving them water in the desert. He said, I will bless those who are committed, springing forth rivers. But I love this. Don't go past the owls and the jackals and the animals. He said, even they'll thank me for what I brought out of you. You got people in your life that are going to drink from the water, from the river that God brings out of your deadness, out of your dry season. I talked to a friend of mine who is on the verge of a very lucrative business deal. He's in another city. And we were talking about some things. And he said, Brandon, God gave me a word for me about your church. Man, when somebody says that, I automatically get, come on, don't run a friendship with foolishness and silliness. And he said, but when all of this business that we're set up to do takes off, he said, God told me to ask you what the largest check and one-time donation had ever been given to Living Way in 50 years. And he told me to make sure that I wrote a check bigger than that. All the bristling went away. I said, all right, man, I like that word. Amen. Jesus, right now, bless. What is he saying? He's saying, when God makes my river come forth, it's going to bless everything connected to me. I know we're playing, it's towards the end of this service, but can we just, for 15 seconds, close our eyes? And I want you to think about every person that you're intimately connected to. Some are saved, some are not. Some love Jesus, some do not. Some are hurting, some are sick, some are bound, some are addicted. But I prophesy that out of the deadness and the dryness of us in 2025, God is going to bring rivers that not only bring life to us, but the owls and the jackals and our frenemies and our BFFs and our stepdads and our baby mamas. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about God does something through us that everybody gets a taste of the river. I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. This is not just a call to look back, it is a call to look forward with hope by renewing our commitment. This is not a moment where I'm telling you to renew your membership at Living Way. That doesn't matter, y'all. As much as I want you to join Living Way so you can be a part of a team and serve here, at the end of the day, I need you committed to Christ. Everything else will fall into place once our commitment to Christ gets to where it needs to be. Number three, we rejoice. We rejoice in hope. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, no matter what. To finish it, you've got to rejoice. You've got to be thankful. But Pastor, it has been a tough year. Be thankful you made it. Be thankful that God never left your side. Be thankful that even though you don't have what you wanted, you have everything you need to get you to this point. Rejoice. And we end with Romans 12:12. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. I'm not a pie in the sky telling you that 2025 is going to be awesome for everybody. I believe it can with the right outlook and focus. But there's going to be some giants. There's going to be some loss. There's going to be some grief. All of that is life. It happens to the just and the unjust. However, if we rejoice in our confident hope and we are patient in trouble, meaning this, trouble doesn't last. But as I preached last Sunday, we have an everlasting Father. And we keep on praying. We keep on praying. The rejoicing, the renewal, the reflecting. I want to talk you out of coming to the altar for the next 60 seconds. I don't do that much, but I feel strong about the decisions that are going to be made. If you kind of feel like coming to the altar, don't. Because if you don't feel as strong in this house, you're not going to feel as strong on a Monday afternoon when all hell's breaking loose. But we open this altar right now for anybody who says, Pastor, 2025, these next 12 months, I'm believing I'm going to hear from you. I'm believing the heavens are going to be open. I'm believing that the desert and dry places, that rivers are going to spring forth. I'm believing that my family, I am declaring that that recovery and that restoration that we declared, I believe that's going to happen in my life. But I also know, God, that there's some things in 2024 that cannot go with me. That there's some things that I need to finish. I've got to finish this assignment. I've got to get that high school diploma before I go to college. I've got to be able to prove that I can have a healthy dating relationship before I approach marriage. I've got to get that addiction kicked and defeated before I say yes to her, yes to him. See, I love Living Way because this altar is such a transformative place. You can't keep people from the altar because they've met Jesus here. They've heard Jesus here. I'm out of time, but I want to encourage somebody in the room today. When I got to the renewal of commitment, man, it just was stirring something within me. This is not just for those in the altar. This is for everyone at your seat. This is for everybody on the other side of that screen that is watching live or archived right now. This is for leaders. This is for pastors. This is for Pastor Mandy and myself. It's time to renew our commitment. Renew our commitment to the Christ that we fell in love with. But I'm going to go back and read it one more time before we pray. Here is my advice, verse 10. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Verse 11, now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning. I'm talking to those of you that have grown cold, calloused, numb to the hand, to the heart, to the voice of Jesus. to renew your commitment today. I know you know a lot of scripture and you can quote them frontwards and backwards. That's awesome. Renew your commitment to Jesus. I know you serve twice a week at Living Way. Awesome. Thank you. Renew your commitment to Jesus. I know you've got a great marriage, and I know you've raised great kids. Renew your commitment to Jesus. I know you give 10% of your income and tithe and offerings. That's great, and we appreciate all that you sow so that we can do what God's called us to do, but renew your commitment to Jesus. Paul said, I'm afraid that at the end of all of this that I would become a castaway, that I would preach Jesus, and in preaching Jesus, lose myself. I never want to get to that place, and I don't want you ever either. If you're in this altar right now, I want you to lift your hands. Our pastoral team from the left to the right is going to come and lay their hands on you. We've got anointing oil. There's nothing special about that oil other than it signifies the oil of the Old Testament, the Spirit of God putting His seal on you. In the name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and you're in this house today, we need you to walk an aisle. We're going to lead you in a prayer of faith. It's time that you ask for forgiveness and admit that you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. It's what puts you in eternity with Jesus for the rest of your life instead of a real place called hell for the rest of eternity. Jesus loves you so much that He made that way for you. If you want to be baptized, Let me just say this, and I say this as kind as I can. There are people in this room that you haven't been baptized in water yet. I want to tell you, today's your day, praise God. And a lot of you, you want to be baptized, but you say, I don't want to have to walk all the way up there, all the way back through that hallway, change my clothes, get my hair wet. I don't want to do all that and get baptized. If you're here Wednesday night, one of the most beautiful expressions I've ever seen at a baptismal service. A young lady came who's been coming here for a while. She was in a wheelchair. Said, I want to be baptized. We've got an elevator. Took her up the elevator. And if you were here, you saw the energy that it took her and the people around her to make that happen. And I just stood right over here with just tears in my eyes thinking, there are so many people that are complaining about having to walk a far way and change their clothes to step into the water. And here's a young lady who, for right now, is in a wheelchair. And she said, you can't keep me out of that water. What do I need to do to get baptized? So I say that to encourage you, take the plunge today.